Welcome to Worst.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
Look, what?
You always get to say that.
Fine. Okay, you do it.
I already did it. Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
That was terrible. You stumbled.
Okay.
Do it again.
Welcome to Worst Ever the Podcast.
I am your host.
I am your host, Alaa Khaled, and alongside of me is my minion, Christine Lakin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today on the podcast...
guys, we have a special guest. You might know her from Young and the Restless. She's a soap diva. Her name is Miss Kelly Sullivan.
That's right.
And we're going to talk daytime Emmys. We're going to talk daytime.
Kelly Sullivan!
All right. This is worst ever.
The worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl. Hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best served funny. Kelly.
Kelly Sullivan, ladies
Welcome
and gentlemen.
Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here.
I'm so excited.
Full disclosure for our listeners, Alaa and I are both nursing hangovers.
Yes.
Happy Saturday.
Oh, man.
I scotched it up last night.
I was here at home and I don't feel like I drank that much.
I did.
Well, I fell asleep watching Veep.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like a much more tame evening.
Yeah.
I was on a vodka soda train last night.
I went to the RuPaul's Drag Race season finale taping.
Okay, you don't have to brag about that.
Well, I wouldn't brag. It was a
What'd you wear?
Wonderful show, but really long. So I had about 5 scotches, and it got to the point where the bartender, I looked at the bartender and I was like, listen to me.
Oh, no.
You need to fill that shit up to the rim. She's like, okay. She whispers, okay. And she turns her back from her boss, and literally McAllen's is pouring.
Ooh, McAllen's.
This big.
Oh, my God. That's like a fancy.
That's fancy.
I had like 4 of them.
Was it a cash bar?
They had a square register. So I don't. I'm scared to look at my emails.
Oh yeah, those are scary. It doesn't exist.
I'm scared to look at my emails. Anyway, so I look a lot better hungover than Christine obviously does.
Yeah, no, I'm not. But I think there's a rule with hangovers. I think you feel worse 12 hours after your drunkest point. Have you ever heard that?
Oh,
so like if you were at your drunkest point, say at like 10 p.m. 10 a.m. will be your worst.
That's about right.
And that was about right because I of course still woke up at 7:30 because I have a child. So that was real fun this morning.
Oh,
and
no.
At I think about 9:30, we were driving to go meet with our designer. And I looked at my husband. And I was like, I feel like I might throw up.
Oh, no. What's the hangover cure?
I heard you're supposed to do a glass of water and like aspirin or something
the night before.
Right.
When you're cognizant enough
but
to
I
know
get
that you're
panic
drunk.
Attacks once I'm on the road if I'm hungover.
Oh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So I started getting Pedialyte.
I've gone on a brisk walk. I had a lie down when she was napping, and I'm drinking a lot of soda water.
Or I'll have a Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
hair of the
just
dog.
Get back on
yeah.
the train. Although Patrick Duffy once told me the best hangover cure, which this sounds disgusting, but he's Irish and knows these things. He once told me the best hangover cure is if you know you're drunk, right before you go to sleep, you pop open a beer next to your bed and you let it sit there and get warm and flat. Ew! And then when you wake up, you chug that. Gross!
Oh,
I can't think of anything worse.
Oh my God.
But I bet he's had a lot of hangovers in his life.
I think so.
So he probably knows.
That's the weirdest thing.
I say that with great love and affection.
I want you to try that next time. Report back.
Okay. All right. Enough about our alcoholism.
I know that annoys
me. How are you, Kelly?
You know what? I'm good. I'm in construction hell.
Wow. You just bought a new house.
Which
is awesome.
My boyfriend and I bought a house, and it was built in 1949, so it's it needs a lot of work and love and renovating, and it's just money. So we decided to start our first project was we wanted to do like an outdoor office behind our garage, and we decided just to build like a little 10x12 office studio space, and it has just turned into a nightmare because you think you can do all these DIY stuff.
Well, because there's so many shows now.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching
YouTube.
Fixer Upper, you're watching YouTube.
Are you actually doing it yourselves?
You're like, I can lay a foundation. Well, I saw that person do it on a half hour show.
Yeah, exactly. Well, basically, the short of the long or the long of the short is my uncle, who is 70 years old, my uncle Daryl. He used to be a framer. He's retired now, but my dad was talking to him about, you know, what we wanted to do, and I was just going to get a pre-made prefab, like tough shed thing and just have it come and build it. No big deal. Maybe steal Lakin's husband to help us.
Sure.
Because Lakin's husband has built this awesome A-frame, cool like building in their backyard.
We have like
it's badass.
A teepee sort
it's
of.
It's really cool.
It's weird.
Standing. It's weird. Yeah.
We have like a. You never saw it, Stephen?
No, I haven't seen it.
You never saw our old house.
Yeah, it's like bohemian chic. What would you say your style is? Would you say
not great?
Excuse me. You are the rudest.
She loves the Aztec, which drives me fucking crazy.
Okay. Well,
I hate Aztec.
Aztec was in for a while, and I wouldn't say that's my style. We have one Aztec.
I wouldn't say you have a style. I'm going to take a photo of this room.
Don't, this is a playroom.
Yeah.
Okay?
This is great.
This has no style. This is just, I don't know.
What's your style, well, more importantly, Kelly?
Well, so we've decided that it was going to be like a mid-century modern.
Okay.
Okay,
which
I like that.
To me just kind of looks like Mad Men. This is not me talking here. This is my boyfriend.
It's very Palm Springs.
It's very Palm Springs. It's very like little valley houses that are around here. So
break out your kitten heels and your cigarettes.
Exactly. And your puffy, like, you know, chairs and odd looking things.
Love that.
And very sleek. Mm-hmm. Sleek, simple line. So anyway.
It makes me want a scotch.
It is so true. And my uncle came out with one nail gun and one saw. And and he has a trigger finger, apparently. Do you know what this is?
Like
in real life. From just years and years of carpentry. His like index finger on his hand that he used, the right hand, doesn't really bend.
Okay.
And sometimes it gets locked up, and then sometimes it's like super painful. So we just kind of stood around and watched him do things. And it was 6 days of him just putting the frame up, and then he bounced and went back to Arizona with my Aunt Christy. And so now we have this like frame in the yard that just stares at us with this gaping hole of where the doorways will be, the doors will be. And so every day I kind of walk out there and I just look at it and I get really, I have like an anxiety attack of all the things that need to be done, like, you know, siding and sheetrock and flooring and all these new words that I've learned over the past couple of weeks.
Do you know Nicole Tom? Because I know she's got a really good contract.
No, no. Who
you know,
told that story?
No. Good contractors are hard to find, I'll tell you.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because they'll come in your house and be like, oh, you want that wall moved? $20,000.
No.
Right.
It sounds like you bought a lemon.
No, actually,
I did have a contractor come in, and he was like, had this really thick accent. He was like, no, you want to do too many things. You bought a lemon. And I was like, how dare you? And I went in my room and I slammed the door and I laid on the bed and cried. And my boyfriend came in and was like, you're ridiculous and embarrassing yourself. Get up. And I was like, we bought a lemon. He's like, we didn't buy a lemon. Shut up. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So,
and currently, Eric is just trying to put up siding?
No, currently I just left Eric. He's putting up insulation and you can't touch it. You can't wear you have to wear like long sleeves and a face mask and goggles. And I went outside just to tell him I was coming over here and I walked out and I was like, I was like, Eric. And he's like, woo. And his gas mask. I said, I'm going to Lakin's. He's like, woo. And I was like, bah. And then I just left.
Is this is this structure that you're building on a foundation or you just laid it on top of the grass?
Well, we kind of just laid it on top of some cinder blocks. We didn't cement it to the ground.
Okay.
That was a little beyond our scope of expertise.
Right.
So I guess if we have like a really big tornado or a big earthquake, it's going down.
It might just blow over.
Exactly.
Which, you know, exactly. That would be fine.
So, So there's a lot going on.
Please. You should be Instagramming the progress of this.
I've seen a few stories.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. God. Uncle Daryl.
I don't want to talk about that. Please, nobody look at our Instagram.
All right.
I'm embarrassed.
So you say your boyfriend. So you bought a house together, but you're not engaged. What's the story?
Well, she does wear a ring.
Hold on. That's I'm asking her.
Okay.
So we've been together for like 7, almost 8 years. And maybe about like 4 years ago, or more, about 4 years ago, it's a funny story. I had just found out I was getting fired from General Hospital and I was feeling really good about myself at the moment. And I was just sitting on my couch and I was just kind of like just upset about it because, you know, I'd been on the show for a couple years and my essentially my contract was up and they just weren't renewing it. Mm-hmm. But the way that I found out I was being killed off, I had found out through someone else. Like they weren't really cool with communicating with me. So I kind of found out through someone else that I just kind of felt like totally betrayed.
Right.
That, you know, they didn't tell me. So anyway,
I was a good like daytime face if you could have seen that.
Yeah. Well, and so
a lot of shade.
Yeah. And I also played two characters. I had split personality disorder.
Did one die or both?
No, they both died. Okay. Both died in the one. And it was like gunshot in the stomach, body bag out. Like not disappearing or falling off the side of a cliff or maybe possibly drowning. Like, could she come back? It was like, the bitch is dead.
Oh, she did.
Oh, she did. Mm-hmm. And so I was just sitting on the couch and really like bummed out and feeling sorry for myself. And Eric was kind of like, kind of acting really strangely, and it was probably like 9:30 at night, and he was kind of walking in and out of the house. At one point, he disappeared in the garage for like a half an hour, and he comes in, and he's like, I'm hungry, are you? And I was like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. And he's like, all right, we'll order Thai food, and the Thai food came, and then he didn't touch it and didn't eat it, and I was like, well, can I eat it? Because I just want to eat my feelings, and so I started eating his Thai, and he was just acting really strange, and then 20 minutes later, he comes into the living room, and he's like, let's go on a drive. Let's just get in the car and drive. And I was like, no, I was in my, you know, pajamas. I said, what are you talking about? Get out of here. Go away. And he wouldn't drop it. He was like, get in the car. I just want to make you feel better. Let's get in the car and drive. And I said, no. And this went back and forth for like 20 minutes. And he finally comes over, picks me up, carries me out in the garage, which is no easy feat because we're pretty much the same height. And I probably weigh more than him. And, he puts me in his car and we're driving and I'm just like, pissed off and like, I hate you. This is dumb. Where are we going to drive? It's now 10 o'clock. Like, you suck. And I hate my life. I'm a loser. And he's just not saying anything. Driving. Suddenly we get on the freeway. We start heading down to the beach. And I'm like, he's like, just unroll your window, man. You'll feel better. Just breathe. And like, just, you know, calm. Like, you're enough. You're good. Like, you're fine. So we get to the beach and I was like, well, he's kind of awesome for like taking me to this cool, beautiful area when I'm feeling really sad about myself. And we get out of the car and I'm like, all right, let's go sit on the beach. You're right. And then he pops a trunk and there's like this
body
like,
bag.
There's a knife, a saw, and a very large black bag and some cinder blocks. And there he pulls out like this big cooler and a blanket. And I was like, what's with the cooler, man? Like, is this like, what? I thought this was impromptu. Did you plan this? And he's like, no, yeah, you know, I just thought, you know, and I was like, what is happening? But I was too much in my head up my ass to like really get suspicious about anything.
Are you still in your pajamas?
I'm still in my pajamas. And I'd been crying for probably like 3 hours. So I had like, you know, post boxing match swollen eyes. So we get to the beach and we're sitting there and he and I'm just looking at the waves and I was like, you know, babe, you're great. I love you. I feel so much better. Like, it's fine. I'll get another job. It's just like, you know, it's all good. And he's just kind of quiet and I look at him and he just has this weird look on his face. He's very pale. And then I'm like, are you all right? And he starts talking and he's just saying things and I wasn't really listening. I don't really remember what he said. And he started talking about, I remember he said family and started talking about how important I am to him. And, you know, like he's there for me and supports me. And I'm like, what? And the words just kept coming. And I was like, what is happening? And then he finally stops and he said something like, you know, I want to make a commitment to you. And, you know, I want to marry you someday. And I was like, because we'd never really talked about it. I'd always said like, we're good. It works. Mm-hmm. We don't have to like go there. And then he just looked at me and I said, what? And he's like, I want to know if you'd marry me. And I was like, what? And he said, you know, if you want to like marry me. And said, when? Like, I had no like idea now? What he was doing. I said, like, ever? Or what are you talking about?
Are you asking me to marry you?
Yeah. And I'm looking at him and he's like, I'm asking you if you will marry me. I'm proposing to you right now. And I just looked at him and I said, no, you're not.
Oh my God, you're the worst.
The worst. Oh. And he goes, yes, I am. And I said, what? I was so confused. And this went back and forth. And then I finally just said, oh my God. And he's like, just what, you haven't said anything, just a yes, a no, something. And I said, oh yeah, babe, of course. And I started to cry again. And that was like 4 years ago. And, you know, we'll probably never get married, but.
So you're engaged. I mean, that's what I wanted to get out of you.
Yeah, that was a long way about, yeah.
You're engaged?
Yes, we're totally engaged.
And you haven't talked about planning a wedding whatsoever?
Not
but
at all.
You've been engaged for 4 years?
Probably, yeah.
You've been together 7.
Yeah, a little, almost 8, yeah.
Yeah. And so he bought her this beautiful ring, yeah. Which is not, it's more, it's just a, it's a very pretty ring.
Yeah, first he didn't have a ring.
Right.
So
but he bought that last year?
Yeah, he bought this like 2.5 years ago, and then I ran it over with my car.
Oh, right.
And then I didn't have it for like 8 months, and then I had to get a new one.
How do you run it over with your car? It just slips off your finger, and then you just drive?
You know, I was driving to meet a girlfriend for lunch. I took my ring off to put lotion on, and I forgot it was in my lap. And when I went out to go to the restaurant, I stood up, and it went out onto the street. And then I didn't realize it was, you know, I couldn't figure out where. I just didn't even think about it. And then I finished lunch. I came back in the car, and that's when I ran it over. And then I realized about 20 minutes later that I had run my ring over, and I went and got it, and it was in like 10 pieces. And
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it was still on the street.
It was on, well, the stone, like this, it's an aquamarine stone. The stone was like in one place, and then the actual ring itself, the setting was
That's
like.
That's amazing that you found the stone, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's got character.
Yeah, it was an expensive lunch, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
God.
Do you take that as a sign, maybe?
That's a really good question.
I'm just questioning, seriously.
That's a really good question.
It might be a sign.
Okay, can I tell you something?
She didn't even know that she was getting proposed to.
Let me tell you
something.
And
then the ring could be a thing.
Yeah.
And now he's out there with building a building on grass.
Yeah.
Literally, there's not even a floor. It just doesn't sound too promising.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
My parents have been married for 40 years.
Wow.
My mother, yes. Congratulations, Jim and Karen Lakin. My mother, when they got engaged, my dad gave my mom a beautiful emerald and diamond ring as an engagement ring. When I was about 3, we were living in Maryland, and my mom would take her rings off, you know, and put them on the windowsill when she was washing dishes. Mm. So like she did all the time, put it on the windowsill. My dad comes in, you know, is sweeping things into the disposal and just trying to clean up and, you know, washing out cups and just cleaning up like he always did. And basically turns the disposal on and hears this horrible crunch.
Oh no.
Christine.
He put my mother's ring down the disposal.
Oh no.
And felt so bad about it. Obviously knew what he did right away.
Of course.
Like got the disposal, took it all apart. The ring was mangled. And I've never seen a picture of it. I don't know what it looked like.
Wow.
He ended up having, there was no way, it was unsalvageable. So my mom had it made into a charm that she wore in her charm bracelet.
Oh, that's sweet.
And then 2 years or 3 years later, he got her like a big honking diamond because he felt like he deserved to get her a new
She's
ring
like
after that.
Definitely leaving it on the
window. She's like, I definitely upgraded,
but
yeah.
Much better.
Exactly.
Do you guys consider having children?
I don't think so.
You're not
I don't
that
know.
Type.
I mean, you know what? I go back and forth and I'll talk to Lakin about it. And sometimes I'll say to Lakin, like, I want to do it. I'm ready. And then, you know, I think about it more and I'm like, I don't know. And you know, my mom always says you're never ready.
Because
I always think if I just wait till after the fall when this project's done.
Right.
And then I'll have time to get pregnant and get fat and, you know.
Well, everyone's always like, well, we can't afford to have a baby right now. We can't. And I'm like, if you have the baby, you'll afford it. It just happens. It's just that's how the universe works.
Well, and babies don't actually really cost that much in the beginning.
Oh, God.
I mean, they don't. I know you can choose to buy a lot of stuff, or you can choose to, you know, have your community of,
that's
your
true.
Village help you.
Yeah.
And of women and you know, hand-me-downs and stuff like that. And what I'm saying is like the day-to-day, babies don't cost very much in the beginning. You get into preschool and it's a little bit of a different story.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially around here.
Tell me about it.
And is he in the business?
Yeah. So we met in New York. We were doing this play called Robin and the Seven Hoods, based on the movie, the Rat Pack movie with Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis, Dean Martin.
Because he sings like a lot of that.
Yeah, he was in like Jersey Boys.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Eric Schneider.
Oh. He's like he can do all the high.
Yeah, he did the Frankie Valli role in that.
Oh, so does he know?
Yes, Joe Bari.
Yeah.
My friend, yes.
Oh, yeah,
know
yeah,
each
yeah.
Other.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, and so we met there, and then we had decided to kind of come out here, and he started working right away, actually, and I really wasn't, and he'd done like three things in a row, and when we moved out here, we didn't have any friends, like zero. We just wanted to live at the beach, so it was he and I and my two 90-pound dogs living in this like beach bungalow, one-bedroom small apartment, and then, you know, like it kind of switched where I started working, and I think that's when I got General Hospital, which at that point was like a 2-year commitment. Mm-hmm. And then he was kind of like, you know, I want to figure out some other way to make money. He didn't want to like bartend or wait tables. So he started shooting. And his parents used to be photographers in the 70s in New York.
He's a very good photographer.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Maybe I'll use him.
Yeah. If you
He's
have any
very
headshots.
Good.
I do.
He does a lot of magazine covers too. He shot like a lot
on
of
magazine.
He shot Robin Thicke.
I mean, clearly,
and Hemsworth. And
I'm going to tell you right now, Kelly Sullivan, this face no one forgets.
I'm telling you.
I'm an advertiser's dream.
Oh, give me a break.
I mean, come
it's
on.
True.
For Skittles.
All right. Go ahead. So then you met. So you're working. He's not. He's shooting pictures.
Yeah.
You're shooting daytime drama.
I mean, come on. Yeah. So he just, his parents were photographers, and he started using his dad's old stuff. His dad shot still life, but he still had a lot of the equipment. And, you know, being a photographer is incredibly expensive because you have mm-hmm. to buy so much things just to start. You know, you have to, people will take out like a $20,000 business loan just to start
yeah,
photography.
Just the lighting packages alone.
Yeah, lenses yeah. and cameras and lighting mm-hmm. equipment and all those.
Photoshop,
forget about it. So he took like a beginning 101 camera class, and then just kind of, he's a natural at it. So, and he's got a really just cool outlook on the world. He just sees things differently than...
That's what I like.
Yeah. He's got a real sensitivity to things in the world. And
so I want to get into your daytime a little bit. You've been on two different
yep.
soaps.
Yeah.
General Hospital
Young
and
the
then
Restless.
Young and the Restless.
Mm-hmm. Are you currently on Young and the Restless?
No. I left that show about, gosh, almost 2 years ago now. It'll be 2 years in August, I think. No, that's a lie. It's 2 years like now, actually.
Is your character still alive?
No, she died as well. She died. I was driving and I was texting and I hit a tree and airbag, all the things went off. But then I died of internal bleeding like right after with the baby on my chest that they stole from me.
And is
that she birthed in a park?
Yes.
She birthed her baby in a park.
So you had a baby?
On television. And yes. I also raped myself on television in General Hospital.
Wait a minute. So wait, is Young and the Restless a show with Eileen Davidson?
Yes, from okay. The Real Housewives.
Yes.
Yes.
How is she? Because I love her.
Fabulous.
I love her on Real Housewives.
We love Eileen.
You know, I've never watched that show, and someone who is like a total fan of it said that the first season she was on, she was really nice and kind of like was very mannered and nice. And now that she's kind of become more comfortable, like she's kind of... I don't want to say not as nice because she's literally the nicest person you'll ever meet.
No, I think she was nice, but I feel like first season she went guns a blazing.
Oh,
yeah,
she
no,
did.
But she was always like the most sane one.
She's the most sane, but she's very clear about how she feels at that moment in time. It's a very actor thing. She's living in the moment
all
the time. So if something's bothering her, she's not holding it back. She's telling you.
Yeah. She likes to definitely
Shout out to Eileen, everyone.
I love you. And love I her. Used to, when she wasn't working, I would stay in her dressing room sometimes. And it is literally the cleanest, most tidy dressing room ever.
She's always cleaning the house on the show.
She is
she is.
I wish. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So then you went to the Daytime Emmys this year.
Yep.
And you were nominated this year.
Yeah.
But you hadn't been on... the show.
Right. So this happened to me on General Hospital too. When I was on General Hospital and I left the show, I was nominated that year that I left the show. So when I went, I wasn't on the show anymore.
It's so weird.
So are your characters still, are they still airing episodes that you've shot already?
No. Well, Young and the Restless shoots like a month out. So my episode stopped airing a month after I left the show.
So how are you nominated 2 years later?
Oh, okay. Good point. So I think the last time I was on the show, I guess must have been like April of 2016.
Oh, I see.
So I guess it was a year ago. So then at the end of every year, they ask you to choose an episode of your year's work and submit it. So, and I hadn't worked that much in 2016, as I think my last month was like March or April. So I didn't have a lot to choose from, but I just chose this episode that that I guess, you know, and it's peer nominated, so it's cool because you submit your episode and everyone, all the actors from all the shows watch it, and then you kind of get rated on that, and then they narrow it down to five.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So there were five girls.
So which episode was it? Were you dying in it, pregnant?
It's the episode, it was not when I gave birth.
Raping yourself.
Raping yourself.
No, not raping myself. Actually, I wonder if that, I don't remember if that, what I nominated, I can't remember what I submitted on General Hospital, but it was an episode where I was doing a scene with Sharon Case, who plays Sharon, and my character had just found out that the baby that everyone had told me had died at birth was actually stolen and given to Sharon. So Sharon had been raising my kid thinking it was hers. Because she was in the loony bin and was drugged up, and they told her she was pregnant and had a kid, but like she didn't know.
Wow.
I don't know. It's very weird. So I found out, I pieced it all together, and I was like a detective and figured out what had happened. And then I went to her house, and my child was there in the crib, and I went and picked it up, and I realized in that moment, like, we're finally together. We're together. And then she comes down the stairs, and
you say something like, I'm never going to let you go.
I was like, I think I had a lot. Yeah. I was like, Christian, you're mine. You're my baby. Like, we're finally together. I'll never leave you again. And she comes down the stairs, and I said something to her like she's a ruthless, you know, conniving bitch or something. And then we just started in for like the next seven scenes. It was just her and I back and forth, and me basically being like, I will take you down, girl, and like all of these things. And
oh my God.
It was very dramatic.
So the daytime Emmys used to be televised.
No, yes.
They're not.
No.
They're not televised anymore because I think there's only a few really that are still surviving that are on daytime.
Yeah, but they also do talk shows like The View and
The View, the Price Chew, is, they do game talk, shows.
They do game shows. All the daytime shows.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
so it's got a lot of
I didn't realize that. I thought it was just soaps.
No, it's not just soaps. Okay. It's The Talk, The View. They're all nominated and that whole thing. Yeah.
So now that they're not, but they are live streamed.
It's so weird.
Oh, man. I think the first year they decided, like, no network would pick them up. They decided to go...
They go to Pop.
Pop, which was a terrible idea because they had all... They decided to, like, I don't know who was smoking what when they decided this situation, but they wanted to have, like, social media people come and be almost like hosts, and they had these like hosting stations. So there was a girl there that had the most Vine followers ever. She had like, you know, 6 million Vine followers, and she was like,
"Read a teleprompter."
No, and she's like this 20-some girl who's sitting there like interviewing people, and she has no idea.
But you know why they did that? Because their followers are so high,
oh, for sure.
That they're going to plug the evening, so they're going to get
that's
viewers.
Right.
So of course, and that's the way we do. There's television shows now where the stars are like YouTube people, or like they just vlog.
I mean, tell me about it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Or like they'll pick certain people to be like, say, guest judges on certain big shows, but they won't. Like even consider them unless they have at least 1 million followers.
No, it's got to be 3 million.
Oh my god,
that's fucking crazy.
Well, even acting.
But this is the new. I mean, yeah,
this is the new thing. Even
this
actors are getting passed up for people that have like Instagram followers.
Yeah,
and I know just from Eric, like working with, he'll work with makeup artists who will say, "I didn't get this job because this chick had 40,000 followers and I have 8."
Yes.
Oh man,
it's true.
It's gnarly.
So Pop
was a disaster that one year. Right. And so then the next year they decided to try it again.
But they are not a disaster now. They air Hollywood Darlings. Make sure that we love the
Pop.
We love the Pop.
Yes.
They just made one mistake and that was the daytime Emmys.
No, I'm just saying the whole way it was like executed.
I got you.
No. So then, so this year it wasn't televised, but they were doing this Facebook Live and Twitter Live.
Right, okay.
So it wasn't on like even CBS All Access or anything?
I don't believe so. I believe the only way you could watch it was if you went on the Academy's Facebook page or Twitter.
Got it.
Then you could watch it live streamed.
Okay.
And it was very interesting because when we got into the...
Where was it held?
It was at the Pasadena Auditorium, like Civic...
That's a nice theater.
It's a nice theater. Yeah, it's a really nice theater. It's not like stadium seating.
It's not like at Merv Griffin's Beverly Hotel. No. Hilton.
Exactly. It used to be the Hilton, but it's Hilton. Very like Golden Globe-y where everyone sits at the tables. Table, and then like when they announce a winner, it takes like 30 minutes for the person to get around their 17 tables to get up there and... eating as people are saying, like, I just want to thank my mom.
By the way, that's how I like award shows, because I like to have a meal, because otherwise you're sitting there.
Let me tell you,
I agree. To have everything. You like to come over here and have a meal. You just like everything.
I like light lunch when we're podcasting.
Okay. But here's the thing. They didn't start serving the meal until after the award show, but they had bread and wine and butter.
Bread and wine.
So by the time the thing ended, you were hammered. You were bloated. You wanted to die, and then they come with the salad, that like the appetizer, and it was just gnarly.
Hold on.
And you're starving.
Before we get into the actual daytime Emmys,
yes.
How did you find out you were nominated?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was having car trouble, and I had to take my car to the mechanic because this light came on that said check engine. So, you know, when something says check the engine, you got to do it.
Yeah.
It's like... You just got to do it.
Yeah, I got to do mine.
So I took it to the mechanic, this guy named Stanley, who's awesome, but takes, you know, you drop the car off and 2 weeks later, you call him and he's like, oh, yeah. Haven't gotten to it yet, but...
just waiting on the part.
It's going to be fine. You know, just waiting on the part. And that's kind of how we talk, Stanley. Anyway, so I go and I actually was going to pick up my car that he'd had for a while and... I'm standing there and he's telling me about all of the things I do. He's telling me about all the things that he did and this and that, and it's fixed. And I look down on my phone, and there's a text from the head of publicity over Young and the Restless. And it was just all capitals saying, congratulations, you were nominated, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, what? And I said, no way, that's crazy. And so I opened up my phone. I was going to respond, and then right away I got another email from one of the producers, or a text from the producers that said, congratulations on your nomination. And so the first person that I told was my mechanic, Stanley. And he was like, okay, well, that'll be $420.
Yeah.
And so I paid him, and then I just drove home. And
Was this your first nomination?
No, I was nominated on General Hospital in, like, I would say like 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So, but I was kind of shocked because I had, you know, I hadn't been on the show for so long. I kind of forgotten about it. And it was just like, oh, okay, cool. So then that day was just a lot of texting, people texting me, and a lot of texting people back. And then, you know, then it starts with like, okay, they're at the end of the month or April 29th. So obviously you're not on the show anymore. And we're not going to see you. So I'm just going to communicate with you via email of all the things. So we just kind of went back and forth and figured out the logistics, and the day came and I went.
And then you had the bread and wine.
Well, actually, so since we were in this auditorium, since it was the stadium seating, which was the first Emmys, this was like the fifth Emmys I had gone to, and this was the first one. It was not at the Hilton for me.
Right.
So I thought, well, you know, okay, this is going to be interesting. And it was like 705 degrees outside, and the red carpet's outside.
Ugh. What are you wearing?
So I wore this dress. A friend of mine's a stylist, and he always pulls these like insane dresses. I don't know how he does it. He's a magician. And so he pulled this Dolce & Gabbana dress.
It's beautiful.
That was like way fancier than me. I mean, there had no business wearing this dress, and it was just amazing.
You look like a beautiful vampire.
I did. I looked like Elvira. I felt like Elvira. Long sleeves, like lacy sleeves, and it was black and just fabulous.
And was it just a borrow?
It was a borrow, yeah.
Great.
And so, actually, I came to the Emmys with Eric, and in the Uber there, he was telling me he was feeling nauseous. And I'm thinking, well, you better suck it up, dude, because this is going to be a long-ass day. They wanted us to be there at, like, 4. And anyway, so we get there, and as soon as we get to the carpet, he's like, I don't feel well. Like, I really feel like I might pass out. And I said, well...
Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
But do you pay to go in? How does that work?
Yeah, so...
Not if you're nominated.
No.
No, if you're nominated, you get a ticket. But if you want to bring someone, you have to pay. You have to pay the Academy.
What?
You have to pay the Academy.
You don't get a plus one.
You don't get a plus one?
No plus ones. And
how much?
So if you want to go by yourself to the thing you're nominated
yeah,
for.
Yeah, can't wait for that. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
From the show that I'm not on anymore.
Right, right.
No, I was like, you're coming with me. It's something, it's like $625
what?
Or something.
That's so expensive.
Girl.
That's crazy for butter and bread.
Well, not even that because, you know, when we got there, I'm thinking, so what is, you know, this usually gets you a meal and, you know, open bar, which is basically wine. And, you know, if you want to get anything like, you know, whiskey or something, you have to pay for it. But this, in this circumstance, we got there and there was like, there was like this holding area where there was like a cheese plate and some crackers. Like so, like a Trader Joe's cheese plate. And then there was a bar that had like four signature drinks. And I wasn't drinking. I was like finishing this cleanse that I'd been doing for like almost 2 months. So I was like, you know, not drinking at the time.
But you just paid $600, so you should be drinking.
Well, I was telling Eric, I was like, just keep drinking.
All the yeah.
And I'm thinking, at some point there's going to be like... like a meal or something that comes out that'll have me understand why this ticket was so expensive, and it just kind of never happened. Then they shuffled us into the auditorium and we sat down, and I think it was just
my child wants to be a part of the podcast.
I know she does. She wanted to hang out with us.
Well, I can't have it.
You're the worst godfather.
I know, but I just, come on. These people, she's in the middle of a daytime, we have a nominated Emmy, an Emmy nominated actress here.
I know.
And this baby is like, she wants all the attention.
She's living.
I apologize. Kelly Sullivan.
Please,
I apologize.
Oh my gosh.
Profusely.
Amateur. Very amateur.
Sorry. All right, continue. So back to your $600. So okay, back to you.
So it just was becoming clear to me that this ticket price was just for the experience of the Emmys.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
To my knowledge at the time,
I'm sorry.
The shows have to pay for their actors to go. And this particular year, it was made aware to me that some of the shows were not going to be participating in that because they think it's ridiculous, which it is.
It is.
And they weren't buying tickets for their actors. So in addition to me going and paying for Eric, a bunch of my friends that were on the show with me weren't going.
Okay.
Because they weren't given tickets like they always are. And they were certainly not going to pay the money to go. So I was kind of like, okay, it's going to be great.
Right. I'm not going to know anyone there.
Except the nominees, because only the nominees get a ticket.
So since it's in the auditorium, it's like theater seating?
Yeah, stadium seating. And, you know, it was Mario Lopez and, what's her name? What's her name? She's, I'm going to think of it in like 30 seconds.
We have a resource here, Steve.
Yeah. I think she's on The Talk.
Oh.
Who are the people on The Talk?
So there's not Julie Chen.
No, not Julie.
There is, what's her name from Roseanne?
Yes, not her.
Not her.
Sarah Gilbert.
Not Sarah Gilbert.
Oh, the comedian.
Not Whoopi.
No. No, Whoopi's on The View.
Oh, God, sorry.
Let's not.
Don't.
So sorry.
Let's not cross
so sorry.
Talk shows.
So yeah. Sorry.
No, it's, what's her name? The comedian, what's her name?
Aisha Tyler?
Sharon Osbourne.
Aisha Tyler.
No, not Aisha. Not Sharon. The other one.
The one with the wigs. Is she black?
Yes.
Yeah, she's a comedian too.
She's
hilarious.
She is.
Love her.
And she's a big soap fan, I guess.
Lee Remy?
No.
Remini?
No, that was the pilot. Didn't go well. We don't talk about it. I just read Scientology. Her Scientology book, so I know this story.
No, it's just...
Holly Elizabeth Robinson Pete.
No, just do the hosts of The Talk.
God.
Sorry, our resources.
So sorry.
Bad
Let's
research.
Ask Siri.
Siri, name the hosts of The Talk.
Is Siri, but you knew that already.
Okay, that doesn't
fuck off.
How come you have a guy's voice?
Because that bitch was making me that bitch was making me crazy.
Wow, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you can switch. It could be English. Speaking of,
hi baby, that's hilarious. It's kind of like the Waze voice.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. So now you're like, but I'm confused. So,
Sherry.
Sherry. I know who you're talking about. It doesn't matter. We know who you're talking about.
So you know. Anyway,
but I'm confused about the seating situation because you said there's supposed to be bread and wine. Where are they putting?
Oh,
it?
Oh no, the bread and the wine was for the Hilton. The bread and wine was for the table seating, the wedding.
So now this is $600 for a Trader Joe's cheese plate,
crackers, and some drinks. And I kept waiting, and I kept saying they're not going to feed us because they wanted us there at like 4. The show, or they wanted us there at like 2:33. The show started abruptly at 5 and was supposed to be 2 hours.
Is that, can you hear that? Okay.
I mean, Christine, the edits that we're going to have to do on this.
No, we're leaving it all in.
No, I can't. That's, I'm going to go nuts.
Really amazing.
She's
so smart because she knows where the noisy parts of all of the things are.
No, I know. And Kelly, here's the deal. It's between me and you, while she goes to get rid of the baby with her husband, I'm looking for a new co-host.
You guys have the best banter, and you know
I'm
it.
I'm just telling you right now, me
Sherry
and,
Thomas.
No, it's not Sherry Thomas. Oh, I'm going to look
Sherry, Sharon Stone.
No, not even close. I mean, it's just the cast of the talk. Can you just Google that, Steven? Thanks.
I think it starts with an S. Sherry's.
You know, everyone in there listening.
This is embarrassing.
Everyone that's listening to the podcast right now is screaming out
her name. They're screaming. Yeah. They're like, Sherry.
Oh, Christine's back. We missed you.
We missed you. We love you.
Love you.
You're such a good mom. Yeah. I've never heard you raise your voice to that child, not once.
No, that's my job.
No, she's a cutie pie.
Cheryl Underwood.
Okay.
Thank you. I was way off. Underwood. I mean, it's so easy.
It's not, though.
Okay.
It's just not.
Oh, sorry, Sherry.
How many hours go by before your category? Are you just like there forever?
Because you're best supporting actress. Who you're nominating against?
Right.
How many girls?
Okay. Oh, geez. Best supporting actress usually is, if not the first, the second award given.
Great.
Okay. There were 5 actresses total. It was myself. There were 2 people from Young and the Restless, a woman named Stacey Heiduk, and myself, who's also no longer on the show.
I love it.
So funny.
There was an actress from Days of Our Lives, whose name escapes me, who actually won, had a wonderful speech.
That's why it escaped you.
Yes, it escapes me, but I'll think of it in a second. Cheryl Underwood, we got. There was a girl from, there was a woman, Finola Hughes from General Hospital.
Oh, yeah,
who is like a goddess and someone that.
Diva.
She's everything in the world. And a woman named Anna Marie Horsford from The Bold and the Beautiful. The Days of Our Lives was Kate Mancey.
Oh.
So it was the 5 of us and, when, again, at this point, you know, now we've gone through the 700-degree red carpet, and then we go inside, and there's a cheese plate with crackers and cheese. And then they were like, okay, the show's starting. And I was wondering, okay, Eric and I haven't eaten since, like, about 10 a.m. at this point. So I'm like, well, maybe there's going to be food in the place. There wasn't any. At that point, Eric's, like, blood sugar is dropping. He's like, I'm really not feeling well. And I said, don't worry because my category is like right up. So then you can bounce and go to the bathroom and go get some food, whatever. So we sit down in our seats. And, you know, when you're nominated, they want you on the aisle seat.
Right.
And we go down there and it's like, you know, the 4th or 5th row up. And I go to sit down and Eric says, well, I don't know, babe, maybe you shouldn't sit on this aisle seat. It looks a little like desperate. Maybe you should sit one in and I'll sit on the aisle seat. Okay. And I was like.
As if you're like just waiting to spring up and go accept your award.
Yeah.
Okay. And I was like, you on the aisle.
I'm like, well, that's fair. First of all, they want me on the aisle and it's already been decided. It's not like they're going to look at us and then decide on our faces.
Right. Right. They've done like camera rehearsals without you there.
Correct.
Knowing that that's where you're sitting.
Correct.
So,
right. So
Eric,
unfortunately, I took Eric's advice.
Yeah.
To find out once the show started that I was the only nominee that was not on the aisle seat. So now I just look like an asshole.
Yeah,
okay.
You do.
So, and that's because when they say the nominees, there's a camera guy that comes up in your section.
Right.
And it's just very easy for him to get your face. You're right on the aisle. He was not thrilled that I wasn't on the aisle.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go down, I sit in our seat, and I open up the program, and I see that uh-oh, my category's like an hour in.
And
Eric looks at me like, I'm going to set you on fire because I can no longer feel my feet, my hands. Yeah.
He wants the ring back. He's like, we're going to the beach after this and we're having a different conversation.
So the whole time I'm like, babe, it'll go fast. So basically what they would do is they would, the show started like right on time. And there was like this countdown, big clock, this digital clock that was like very, you could see it was hanging right there in the middle of the stage. Mario Lopez and Cheryl Underwood come out. They do their little thing. They open up with like 525,600 minutes, but didn't explain why they were singing that song.
What?
They were just singing from Rent, but
are
no one explained
serious?
Why they were singing okay, Seasons great. Of Love from Rent.
They open the show with this.
Yes.
Okay.
And not with like professional killer singers, with like actors from soaps.
What?
No.
Well, let me say something, because there's a whole culture with the soaps. They love to do talent shows.
Oh, and they do sing a lot.
Yeah, and they sing a lot. No, because when
Who
Lindsay,
likes to do a talent
hold on.
Show? All of them do.
I used to, we were friends with Lindsay Price. Do you remember Lindsay Price? She was on
yes,
Bold and the Beautiful.
Of course.
Yeah. And she invited me to this like soap thing, like this convention thing that, you know, I guess all the soap. And then like the whole time, like it's just fans,
yeah.
And they have a dinner, and they spend a lot of money,
yes.
And then the whole time, it's different soap actors performing,
yes.
Like, and they were in it.
Oh, I've done a few of those.
They love it. The soap people love to do the stage.
Yeah. Well, you don't know this, but a lot of the soaps, you know, General Hospital once a year does the nurses' ball where it's like a talent show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of like they. Here's the thing I will say. The Seasons of Love sounded great. Mm-hmm. From where I was sitting, it sounded great. There was the band was like on stage and it was like in tune and people were riffing and soloing. And,
sure.
You know, I was like
Shit.
Waiting for someone to explain what this tie-in was to the daytime Emmys.
Yeah.
And no one literally. And then there was at one point like a high school choir that like came down in robes and like got on the stage, and I was like, this is like an event, and no one explained it. And then the song ended and everyone just bounced, and then Mario and Cheryl were on stage and like they went into their thing.
Welcome to the daytime Emmys, everyone.
And I was like, okay, well that's cool. And then, you know, like I would think if they were trying to be current, it might be like something from Hamilton or you know.
No. Something
but
from 19...
Maybe Matilda.
Something from 1996 feels appropriate.
Nothing to do with it.
Why not just write an original song to some popular music?
Right.
And make fun of daytime Emmys.
Yeah.
You know? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you could use Seasons of Love and
do like banter on Young and the Restless, General Hospital, The Talk, The View.
Right.
Cheryl
Underwood. Yes, tie it all in. Exactly.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So then Cheryl and Mario start their banter, and for whatever reason they had decided that their bit was going to be that she was trying to have to sleep with Mario. She was like crushing on him and like saying things all throughout the evening. There were sexual innuendos, like hitting on him, and he'd be like, "Oh, Cheryl." And she was like, "No, really, like we're going to do it backstage like in 10 minutes." And that was their bit. Like, I want to sleep with you. It was very bizarre.
Well, let me tell you, that's a little bit of her gimmick, because she does it on The Talk. They try to set her up on blind dates on The Talk. They did a whole dating episode with her.
Oh, okay.
And she was all over it, let me tell you.
Oh,
that's
well.
Cheryl. She's no joke. She wants a husband. Look her up. Cheryl Underwood, not Whoopi Goldberg.
So then, like, you know, they started announcing the winners, and there's a very large category. They also do children's programming like Sesame Street.
Which is great.
And honestly, one year I had to judge the children's programming section. And it was like the most fun because I don't watch it that much.
Yeah.
And these actors are so talented. Talk about singing and dancing. And they're so creative in the way they like talk about different topics for kids.
The letter A.
The letter A. The only thing we watch is Sesame Street right now.
Oh, so good. And Elmo wins every year.
I'm pretty into Sesame
Street.
He's
got quite a character.
By the way, every year.
The letter of the day.
Is A.
It's pretty good.
Is Susan Lucci there?
Okay, so Susan Lucci.
Is she?
She showed up.
Oh my God.
She showed up. And she walked out on stage, and she did this whole tribute to the woman who created, I believe, All My Children, whose name also escapes me. I am a terrible person. Anyway, and so she did this whole like speech about it, and it was great. And she looks the same.
She looks great, right?
She's like this big. She is, yeah. She's very tiny, and she just looks the same as she's looked for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Looks great.
It's amazing.
She's a Lucci.
And, you know, anyway, and then so
I used to watch her daughter on Sunset Beach. No, it wasn't Sunset Beach. It was.
Oh, really?
Her daughter was on, which is the one with the little person and the witch. They had a witch on it. It was like one of my favorite NBC soap operas.
Oh my gosh.
What was that called? It was on NBC.
Yes. Justin Hartley, my friend who's now on This Is Us, was on that show forever.
And the guy from Desperate Housewives
was
on it too.
Oh. It's like, it's one word, right?
What are you talking?
Passions.
Oh, passions.
Oh,
that's it. Passions.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
I was obsessed
with
that show.
Get out of here.
Oh, my God. I was working on something in South Africa for 3 months, and I had my, this is when VHS was happening. I had my roommate tape VHS tapes of Passions and send them to South Africa because I didn't want to miss anything.
You're literally insane.
Loved it. Oh, my God.
South Africa, just like threw that out there.
Well, I do like to drop countries that I visited. My passport is stamped.
Drop that name, baby.
Well, you dropped Susan
Lucci. I have a Cuba stamp. Do you?
No, you went to Cuba? We'll talk about that in a second. Okay, go ahead.
So she comes out and does her thing, and, you know, it's kind of...
Do we still not know what happened to the rent?
We still don't know about Seasons of Love. Okay. That was never made clear.
That was just an opener.
It was just the opener. And then so Mario and Cheryl would come and do this thing, and then we would like go to like the commercial break, if you will.
It's
but it's live streamed. But they would just take a break, and it would say on this digital counter, like 2 minutes, 159, 158. So they were like really, really short commercial breaks. And Eric kept looking at me to be like, I need to excuse myself to go to the bathroom. I need to get some water. And I was like, okay, dude, but I'm telling you, like, don't get held up in line, because if you miss it, like, and you're not there, that's going to be really awkward amazing and perfect.
Well, because here comes the seat filler.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Which, by the way, I am obsessed with seat fillers.
I am too.
I am obsessed because when they announced this best supporting actor kind of right away, which, and the guy, Steve Burton, who was sitting directly in front of me, won. And when you go and you win, you go up and do your speech, and then they escort you off stage, and then you have to do all this press, and you could be gone for like 20 minutes to 30 minutes just doing whatever. So the seat filler comes in and sits down.
And usually at that point, they leave.
Correct.
The celebrity?
Yeah. If they're not nominated for anything else, they're like, we're out, dude.
And for people who don't know, a seat filler, these are people who have signed up.
Yep.
They are not paid for the service. You have to wear a tuxedo or a gown.
And you are vetted. You have to send a headshot.
Yes, you are vetted, and you have to be there for the rehearsal, I think.
Yep.
And there's certain decorum. You sit down in the actor or actress's seat. You are not supposed to talk to their wife, husband, mother, date, whatever. And you have to be like, you know, certain kind of decorum, and like there's a culture,
and usually they're fans.
Yeah.
So they know when the daytime Emmys are happening. They're like, they're doing it.
You know? And they're so amazing because this is something I just admire them so much, because you never see them coming and you never see them leave. They just appear.
Yeah.
And they're always like these women are stunning, and they have these amazing dresses, and they just look amazing. And so anyway, so he bounced for a while, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the program like, oh man, Eric's just slowly dying on me. And so he did excuse himself to go to the bathroom. He comes and sits back down. And then they were doing a bunch of awards, like, oh gosh, there's like Spanish. There's a lot of Spanish programs, like a lot, like,
wow.
10 to 15, it seems like, but maybe there's only four, but it just seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And then they finally come to my category, and they announce the nominees, and then I wasn't sitting on the seat that I was supposed to be sitting in, so when they come by my face, I'm sure the camera guy was like, this dumb bitch. And then they announced the winner, and it was Kate Mancey. She went up, and she did this lovely speech, and then she left the stage, and then There was
and are
like,
you feeling like, were you nervous?
Did you have a speech?
Were you prepared? Did you think you were going to win?
I mean, I didn't, you know.
And what would you have said, really?
I just want to thank.
I mean, I was off the show a year ago.
Yeah.
They killed me.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to say? Well, like, that's what I would have said. Like, you know, they killed me, right? You know, I would have been like, hey, hello, daytime. I'm getting this Emmy and they killed me. I wasn't good enough for the show, but I was good enough for the fans and the people and the judges and my peers. But CBS.
Yeah.
Killed me.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's funny that you say that because
so angry.
At that moment, the woman who hired me, the EP, had been let go as well. So she was no longer on the show. The head writer, when I was on the show, was no longer on the show. I was no longer on the show. So, like, you know, you usually thank your producer, the person who gave you the job.
And none of those people were there.
And none of them were there. But then again, like the head of daytime there was there, and there were a couple people, you know, and I think at that point for me, it's just like one night a year to get together with everyone that works on daytime and celebrates the year of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's silly to me to even have like whatever. We're all here just to celebrate each other.
And eat some cheese.
And eat some Trader Joe's cheese and crackers. And
for $600.
For $650.
Yes,
and so the best part of this is, I did not really plan it to say anything. I didn't really think I was going to, you know what? I hadn't gotten to that step.
Yeah.
And I'm a really terrible speaker anyway, and I make no points when I'm trying to. So I just would have probably gone on and on, and then they would have been like, you know.
Did they have the orchestra?
They'll start playing out, and then there's like a thing that's flashing, like wrap it up, wrap it up, wrap it up.
I gotta
and then
check
they just
this
have
out.
Like
I gotta
a,
check
yeah.
out the live streaming version of this.
Yeah,
I'm
well.
Sure it's on the Facebook page still.
Yep. So then,
so you're a loser.
So
much.
I lost. I'm a loser, and then suddenly they kind of flip the house lights on, and I suddenly start to hear a lot of like. Like barking and sniffing, and I turn up to like the entrance, and there suddenly is about 40 obese older beagles walking down the aisle with handlers.
Is this like a Bob Barker moment?
I'm telling you, I thought maybe that I had passed out.
What?
I didn't know where I was.
End of a cleanse. I was starting
at
to
the
just...
end of a cleanse. And anyway, these dogs start coming down, and I'm like, what in the heck? And they start walking toward the stage, and they go up on the stage, and there's probably about 40 to 50 beagles that finally get themselves on the stage that are at, you know, sitting at attention. And then they announce the best younger actor award, who goes to my friend Brian Craig from General Hospital. And Brian Craig's like goes up there, and all the beagles are just sitting there.
What?
And he's like looking around like,
Is this a joke? Do I
start talking now, or is there like something that's gonna happen?
So weird.
And he starts to do his speech, and he gets like four words in, and they a couple dogs start barking, and that was never explained as well.
Oh my God.
He didn't say, so what's up with the dogs? Like he just ignored it.
He made some sort of comment like, well, this is a moment to remember.
I've got to see this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it like an adoption?
I guess so. It was like a beagle rescue, but most of the beagles were like senior beagles that were like, oh, definitely
this
overweight.
The weirdest
and
thing ever.
Just... And when one walked by, he like slobbered on Eric's pants. And
so the guy's giving his speech. There's dogs on stage with him.
Yep.
He's doing a normal thank you. He's not acknowledging. There's not even like.
No.
He doesn't try to make a joke about the dogs.
He kind of made a little. It was a polite joke, which went over well. But I just was waiting for someone to be like, oh, no, this is supposed to happen. This is happening because.
Of. We have no idea.
I don't know. So was interesting.
This is the best. I will split the $650 with you if you get nominated again. And I have to go because I have to be there for this.
It was really special. Oh,
this is like better than the reality awards we went to.
Oh, we'll get into that another time. But yes.
Can I go next time?
It's
with you?
It's the best.
Please.
So weird. Please.
It's
he loved it.
I fan out.
The cast of Little Women in New York was there.
L.A.
Of L.A. And he was freaking out. Like, he was having sweating.
Well,
he was
I've gone to, all my
people are here.
I've gone to TLC events, which is all reality.
Yeah, I know.
And I know.
We're going to talk about your TLC moment. Because I have some questions about that.
Really special. It's just really cool because reality show people, you know, they're not actors. They're just regular people who have.
Oh, but they think they are stars. But I told Christine, and I've said it before on this podcast, you put Elizabeth Taylor, and I'll be the most respectful, and I'm like, so nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. You put NeNe Leakes, and I'm going to fan out
for
crazy.
Sure. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm just that way.
And their fans, like, you have no idea the fans that reality TV people have.
So
it's crazy.
Okay, so for our listeners, you are also on a show now.
Wait, is this the end of the Emmy story?
Well, yeah. So I'll wrap it up. So basically, after they announced, after I lost, the Beagles came in. Brian Craig did this beautiful speech with Beagles. And then the Beagles left the stage, and then they went to a break, a two-minute break, which when I excused myself to go to the bathroom. And Eric followed me out. He was going to go again. And I go to the bathroom. I come back into the lobby and he's, you know, pretty much so pale. And I said, "Are you all right?" And he said, "I think I'm going to vomit. I feel sick. I feel like I'm going to faint." And I said, "Well, Jesus, you know, what do you want to do?" And he said, "I don't know. I just feel terrible. I think I should go home." And I was like, "Well, you're not going to leave me here. Like, first of all, I just lost. So you can't, like, abandon me.
I don't have any friends here.
Like, my friends aren't here. None of the people that hired me are here.
Yeah.
I will kill you." And he said, "Okay, I'll stay." And he was just miserable. And so we ended up staying for about another 20 minutes to half an hour. And then we just left. And he felt terrible. We Ubered home, and he just kind of threw up in the bathroom and laid down.
Oh, God.
And had some weird stomach flu.
They don't even get you a car.
A what? No, I know. No, God, no. No. Ugh. And you know what? The one thing I was really bummed about was that I knew that CBS was going to have a killer gift bag.
And
I didn't get one because I didn't go. I wasn't able to go to their party afterwards because we left.
You had left.
Oh, Eric.
I know. And, you know, like, I got one time. It just had like really great, like nice makeup palettes packages.
I live for the gift bag.
Are you kidding?
Live for the gift bag.
Like little
gadgets. And you know what sucks now is they are because it's.
It's a tax liability.
That and celebrities are getting too many free things.
Oh yeah, well you know the Academy Awards aren't doing what they used to do anymore.
Right.
Yeah. With their swag.
Yeah.
I mean, those were crazy. They were getting like Rolexes.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s and early 2000s,
diamonds.
Those gift bags were everything.
What's the best thing you've ever seen in a gift bag?
I've seen vacations to like Italy, like full round trip, hotel, I've seen like crazy shit.
Yeah. Okay. What about like, what's the best like tangible thing?
Oh, anything from like iPhones to, I mean, for me, that's... laptops.
Oh my God.
Like crazy. Yeah.
I think there was a one night stay to Chumash Casino. In Temecula.
Oh God. I'm gonna pass out. Are you serious?
Swear to God. It's one night. One night stay in the Chumash Casino. Temecula.
And you can't even check in till like 3.
And I didn't even get
And you're going to be out by 11. What's the point?
So true. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever been to the Chumash Casino, because I have actually stayed there once.
Yep.
The casino's dry. There's no liquor.
You bring your own liquor. That's brilliant.
There's a coffee cart.
No.
Which, number two, gross. And it's mostly smoking grannies with coffees. You know, just, and it's like penny slots. Like, there, I think the highest table is like a $10, you know, something or other. But yeah, it's depressing upon depressing. I went up there for a wedding.
Oh, wait, that's not in Temecula. That's near Solvang, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know that is.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
I think when I went there once, MC Hammer was performing and
Milli Vanilli. Listen, I used to live in those pants.
Are you kidding me? A dry casino with Milli Vanilli and MC Hammer? Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Girl, you know it's true.
Girl.
God. Okay.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I love you.
Let's transition.
How much do you love Kelly Sullivan? Such a funny gal. So easy to talk to. We loved having her. In fact, we had so many good stories and had so much fun with her. There will be a part two with Kelly Sullivan coming at you soon, including what it was like to work with Tyler Perry on TLC's Too Close to Home and some other very funny behind-the-scenes stories. So definitely make sure you check that out. You can find Kelly Sullivan on social media at Kelly Sullivan Official, Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter at Kelly Sullivan NY. Because she's like way more New York on Twitter. You can find me, Christine Lakin, at Yo Lakin on all social media, and my cohort, Ella Khaled, at Alec Led. If you have any comments, questions, or just want to tell us what you think about the podcast, email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com. We truly love hearing from you guys and appreciate all the comments, funny stories, and even just little quips about what you think. Glad to know that we are making some of your lives more enjoyable while you do things like the dishes. A big thank you, as always, to our producer and engineer, Stephen Ray Morris. Have a great or worst week, and we'll see you next time.